Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Well, Brad, we ended last episode saying that there was no possible way that we could have follow-up on anything about what we talked about.
And ever.
Guess what's at the very top of our show notes this week? Follow-up.
Not follow-up. Ah, darn. I was wrong. Okay. So let's get through the follow-up super, super quick.
Okay.
Because there are only two parts, so this should only take us like 20 minutes. So follow-up item number one. Mini E vans are going even further. They are now servicing the Wilderness Lodge along with, if you remember, they started out, what, Yacht and Beach Club.
Mm-hmm.
They have now expanded it to the Wilderness Lodge. And I would assume that the rest of the deluxe resorts aren't going to be too far behind.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you feel that's where they're going to want to start this, right? Because they want people who have a lot of disposable income, essentially.
Right.
And if you had the disposable income to pay for the crazy, crazy expensive deluxe room, then
right,
you're going to want the mini E-van. So
$20 for a one-way trip is not as hard to sell.
Right. Well, and again, I don't think it's a super hard sell depending on what you want to do and when you want to do it, even for people who stay in the value resorts. As
true.
And I say that because I'm one of those people, but I can understand starting with, well, and it also adds a benefit, I think, to the deluxe resorts. So there is that aspect of it as well. So yeah, Wilderness Lodge has many E-vans, and I would, you know, suspect what Grand Floridian, Poly, Contemporary, we're gonna see it show up in those places. I would think sooner rather than later. So
what if they made that a complimentary service for deluxe resort guests?
Nope. Not gonna happen. That'd
be pretty cool though, if they gave you like one a day.
They're talking about adding remember the rumor that they were looking at adding resort fees for like all of the, you know, for the buses and the magic bands and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
No, they aren't looking to give us more stuff. They might do that, but it will be part of the deluxe resort if you're staying on the concierge level or something like that. I could see something happening there, but no. I think for the regular deluxe resort visitor, that's always going to be something extra because it's something they can make more money off of. So
sure.
Plus, if you made it free, I mean, legitimately, you would need a lot more, you would need a lot larger fleet to handle that because a lot more people would take advantage of it.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
And then, you know, you put more cars on the road, which then slows everything down, which then makes them less attractive. So I think there's a balance to be struck there, and Disney is working to strike that. So we'll continue to watch this just basically because I really enjoy getting to irritate Jeremy by saying mini E-van, so I will always try to find some follow-up there. But that is topic one. Topic two is we now know a little bit more about Grand Avenue, which, you know, Disney is so awesome about letting us, you know, just kind of hang out there and go, okay, let's talk about Grand Avenue. So what do you think? How do you think the Muppets are going to work into this? How do you think... And you know, we get to guess at it. And then immediately after, they're like, okay, now let's release a, you know, blog post / I basically call these things press releases, kind of outlining how those things are going to work together and make all of the discussion Brad and Jeremy have kind of be a moot point. Or they were listening to us and they're like, okay, yeah, okay, I like that idea. We're going to go with that because... Essentially, this you know, article, press release, whatever, says that you know, Grand Avenue's highlight will be the Baseline Tap House. We all already knew that. Again, it is being redesigned to mimic present day downtown Los Angeles. It's going to have facades for merchants. It says including a music shop, loft apartments, a tailor, and more, with each window on the street featuring charming displays, which I'm like, Streets of America,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you just described to me Streets of America because that mm-hmm. was what Streets of America had. But anyway, they said that, but then they also said that the current Muppets Courtyard will become Grand Park, an urban square off Grand Avenue surrounded by shops and restaurants like Pizza Rizzo and Mama Melrose's Ristorante Italiano. That's why I just call that place
Italiano.
That's why I just call that place Mama Melrose's. Because yeah, you just heard. They also, you know, just kind of confirmed that the Muppets Theater was renamed Grand Arts Theater as part of this to make it fit in better with this new Grand Avenue thing.
Right.
And they say, but not to worry, Kermit, Miss Piggy, and the gang continue to star in their hilarious and irreverent Muppets Vision 3D show. Which, yeah, they do for now. I trust nothing you say, Disney. So yes, basically, I think the takeaway here is that Grand Avenue is essentially going to be a small version of Streets of America, or at least that's what it sounds like to me, and that the Muppet Courtyard is not going to be the Muppet Courtyard anymore. They're just renaming it to Grand Park and refurbing it a little bit to make it fit in with this theme, which I don't know about you, but I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I think it's funny to me that they've rebranded the, you know, Muppet Vision Theater and stuff like that, but I still don't quite understand having present day Los Angeles and also past Los Angeles in the same park. Like, I feel like they should have taken Grand Avenue and made it something else. You know, like made it present day Brooklyn or something like that, because it just rubs me the wrong way to have, like, now we've got what, three or four different decades of Los Angeles all in one park. And I think that they could have done something a little more creative and made it, you know, like maybe more theatery and make it Broadway, present day Broadway. So I don't know. This is fine.
This is what they wanted to do with it.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that nobody's gonna notice.
Though here's the one thing that I will say, and again, we're still in follow up, so let's not spend too long here, but I'm gonna have to say this. I still don't feel like Disney's Hollywood Studios or whatever it will be named when it's all said and done, because again, I still don't think that I still don't know that that's actually going to be the name long term. But
well, I think it is, because they keep on theming things to L.A.
I agree with you, but
they're just pounding Hollywood, 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 Hollywood. Like
maybe so. But anyway, what Disney's Hollywood Studios still lacks a cohesive theme, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, putting Star Wars and Toy Story in the same area, I don't think was going to benefit a cohesive theme, but it felt kind of, you know, we always talked about how that park felt disjointed, and that was the one thing about seeing them redo huge chunks of the park, is maybe it would have a better flow. And I'm not going to say definitively this park is horrible. I'm just going to say I don't currently see how all of this is going to flow together, and it sounds like it is going to continue being the same disjointed park that it always has been. I hope that is not actually the case, but that's the one thing that I find kind of odd, is I felt like that would be something they would take advantage of when they do construction on an entire park, essentially, would be to give it a more cohesive theme, and I don't know that that's really there.
Yeah.
Other than as you said, you know, Hollywood and surrounding areas in multiple decades, and yeah, I guess that's something of a theme. So, you know, and then Hollywood / Star Wars, and then Hollywood / Toy Story, because, yeah, those things are totally the same.
Yeah, so it's all Hollywood or movies. You know, that's kind of where they're at, is it's either themed to be Los Angeles or it's themed after a movie.
Yeah, I get that, but like I said, that's why I'm waiting to definitively make judgment on this till I see it. Because, you know, what, Magic Kingdom doesn't, you know, Tomorrowland really doesn't have a lot to do with Frontierland, right?
Yeah.
But somehow I feel like that park as a whole feels cohesively themed to me. And again, maybe I'm alone in this, but I didn't ever feel that way at Disney's Hollywood Studios.
Well, Magic Kingdom is made to feel cohesive by the little plaque over the entrance.
Very true. You know, very true.
Here you enter the world of tomorrow, you know, the past tomorrow, and you know, whatever your imagination. And so they're priming you for to enter different worlds before you've even gotten past the train station. And Hollywood Studios doesn't say, like, now you enter, you know, the world of the movies, past, present, and, you know, whatever. And it's going to be vaguely movie and TV show and music themed, but also very specifically in two very specific lands. So, I don't know. Yeah, I agree that, like, you got Rock and Roller Coaster that's music themed, and Twilight Zone Tower of Terror, which is TV show themed, and then you have a general Los Angeles, Hollywood type theme. And then you had, you know, the Great Movie Ride and Indiana Jones, which were very, you had the Great Movie Ride, which was, you know, movie themed. And then you have Indiana Jones Stunt Spectacular and Toy Story Land and Star Wars Land, which are all very, very specifically themed. So it is kind of all over the place, but the one thing that they can say is it's either Hollywood or a media type of thing.
Right. And to some extent that can be okay. I just want to see it actually work together, you know?
Yeah. 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 So, no, I totally get it.
So we'll see, but we do, you know, at least now we know Grand Avenue, essentially Mini Streets of America. That's what I'm going to call it until I see it and feel otherwise. Mini Streets of America and Muppets Courtyard will be a part of the new Mini Streets of America called Grand Avenue. So that does it. We've only spent a third of the show in follow-up, but now let's let's talk new stuff, Jeremy.
Okay.
New stuff.
Express bus transportation's going away. Shocking no one.
Wait. What do you mean shocking no one? This has been around for a while.
It was doomed to fail from the start. Because they didn't give a poop about it. Man, they had those sandwich boards and, like, nobody knew about it, and only season pass holders and bloggers were using it, and that thing was doomed to fail from moment one. You can see very clearly the difference in care and advertising and everything in the minivans versus express transportation. I mean, the minivans are everywhere. They're very unique. You can tell that someone's in a minivan. There's no question about it. They are, you know, they're being pushed. They're actually being pushed at the resorts that they're at right now. And express transportation just always felt like this thing where, you know, when you got to a park, yeah, you might get a little brochure about it or something, but
Checked into your resort. I mean, I feel like at some point maybe there were some of those brochures, you know, in the big brochure rack at the resort.
Right, but I mean, who?
Yes, I don't know.
We talked a lot about how they should have had a page, you know, when you're making your reservation that says, "Hey, do you want FastPass Plus? Hey, do you want to do express transportation? It's this much." You know, hey, do you want to schedule your dining reservations? When I said FastPass Plus, I meant Memory Maker. But, you know, do you want all these things? And they should have put it in there, and they never did. And the fact that they were not offering that when people made reservations, I mean, that to me said, we don't care about this. This is not going to get past testing phase. Because there was just no buy-in. I can see from an infrastructure point of view, with all the magic breaking that was happening with those, where people would drive by and see, you know, cast members smoking and all of, you know, all the different things that were happening to break the magic. It makes sense to me that it's just not worth doing. And it was clear to me from the first month or two that was out that Disney didn't really care about it and that it was just going to fall by the wayside. And I'm surprised it lasted as long as it did, to be completely honest.
Okay, and that is my point is, you know, you say this surprises no one. It kind of surprises me because they kept it running for as long as they did.
Yeah.
I mean, a month or
that
two
was
in.
That was a surprise.
A month or two in, or, you know, whatever, at the beginning, I wouldn't have been that surprised at all if they said, yep, that didn't work, we're shutting it down. I said, okay, well, you know, it's Disney's testing. But this, and I don't know, because I haven't looked it up exactly, but I mean, I feel like this has been around for a while now.
I don't think it's been quite a year, but it's been close to a year, I think.
Okay, that's a pretty significant amount of time to be testing something.
Yeah.
And then suddenly say, nope, now suddenly it doesn't work for you.
It's a long time to run something in testing, but it's also a long time to run something without any changes to its presentation to guests.
Oh, they changed the presentation. They raised the price at one point, yeah. Which
yeah.
They said, nope, you're getting too good of a deal on that. But I don't know. I do to some extent think that, laughingplace.com, you know, a lot of people covered this one. That's the link in your show notes. They did end their little article on this by saying Disney is currently soft launching their mini e-van service, which provides transportation between on-property locations for $20. Yeah, I think that's probably playing a part in this anyway.
Right.
Is that, you know, well, you can get, you know, a whole day for $15, or you can pay $20 per mini e-van trip if you really want to get somewhere express-like.
Right.
Even though, you know, you're still, like, I felt like one of the big advantages to express transportation was we pick you up in the park, we drop
right.
you off in the park. And
skipping security.
Yeah, and the mini e-vans don't offer that. You're going to have to go back, you're going to have to leave and go back through security each time. So they're still not as beneficial as this service was, which then the question becomes, is there going to be like some, you know, inter-park, I guess, yeah. Mini e-van service that will be basically hosted where express transportation was, you know? Are they going to be like, yeah, or you could pick it up here and for $20, you know, then, or $25 because it's in-park to in-park, run you from side to side. I don't know what will come next, but express transportation is no more. That test is over with. Sad, sad day, I guess.
Boo-hoo. Boo, boo-hoo.
So let's talk happy. And you know, nothing makes you happier than chocolate, right?
I don't like chocolate. No, chocolate makes me sad.
Oh, well, then this story's going to make you real sad.
I know. I didn't want to rain on your parade, but when you said, now let's talk about happy, I was like, oh, well, this story makes me at best feel indifferent. So
okay.
Let's go with that. So, let's talk about something indifferent.
So let's talk about something that'll make you feel indifferent. In MagicVanCollectors.com reporting that Disney will be releasing two Magic Vans for the 2017 Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. The standard limited edition band this year, they are going to release 4,000 of them, and they are a glow in the dark magic band,
which is cool. I'm all over that.
Yeah. And I'm not sure if it's the first time they've done that or not, but, you know, and it comes with the standard limited edition, special lights and sounds at the touch points. And in the, you know, because by this point you're going, well, you said something about chocolate to start off with, Brad. You gotta pay off. The box that it comes in will smell like chocolate.
The box that it comes in.
Yes. The Magic Band box will smell like chocolate, and the band itself will glow in the dark.
Okay. So let me tell you the concerns that I had for this. I missed where it said just the box will smell like chocolate, and I thought the band was going to be made to smell like chocolate as well.
I think that's because you didn't read the actual article. You just looked at the show note that I quickly threw in there.
I skimmed the article for some things, but I didn't skim it very well.
Okay.
Anyway, my thought was, man, in October in South Florida, it's hot. And you're going to be sweaty. And that chocolate band smell plus sweat smell would not be great. So I am pretty happy that you're not going to be around a bunch of people with sweaty chocolate wrists.
Well, now to some extent, you probably will still be around something like that, because I'm sure that smell is going to carry, from the box to the band, but it should theoretically anyway rub off. But yes, according to Magic Man collectors, they say that the box, not the band itself, though. You know, I just.
But then, what's the point?
I like
the box.
Something to sell it to you. I like chocolate. Okay, I actually like chocolate, not sugar, which is to me a different thing. And we, you know what? This is not missing the chocolate, so we won't get into that. But in spite of that, while I may like the taste of chocolate, I don't really know, especially the chemical smell.
Right.
What smell is this going to be of chocolate that's actually going to be entrancing and appetizing to me? You know,
right.
Like if you give me, a scratch and sniff sticker that smells like grape, I'm like, oh, that's grape. And, I don't know that I'm a huge fan of it, but I'm like, oh, okay, that smells like grape. Woohoo. You know, strawberry. Okay.
Right.
Chocolate. That one's usually a little bit off to me, and I don't know. Maybe Disney has hit the nail on the head with this one. We will see. But I say that I will see what other people say about it, because I don't think I'm going to be getting one of these.
I would bet you money that Magic Band box is going to smell exactly like the scented markers that I had in fourth grade that were supposed to smell like chocolate, and it ain't very chocolatey. It's kind of like watermelon candy, watermelon Jolly Ranchers. They're delicious and I love them, but they don't taste like watermelon.
Have you tried the watermelon duos?
No.
The little mint. So they're the little mints, the little plastic round box of mints that you can buy.
Mm-hmm.
And like they're watermelon on one side and mint on the other, and they're really good. But again, they taste like and watermelon.
They taste like artificial
grape,
watermelon flavor.
Grape, banana,
right.
are all good examples of things that if I tell you you're going to have a piece of candy that tastes like one of these things, you recognize that is in no way, shape, or form associated with what the
right.
The taste of watermelon is just defined as two things, as watermelon the fruit and watermelon the not fruit.
Yeah.
And yes.
Runts do not taste like the fruit that they represent.
No, not at all. But they're good.
Yeah.
They're good.
Sure.
Yeah, and I don't know. I'm not a don't think I've ever been a fan of the fake chocolate smell, but if you are, then you better make it down to the not so scary Halloween party. Get yourself one of these limited edition Magic Bands and I guess carry that box around with you and get a good old whiff of it to just, keep yourself going.
Get your special edition stinky Magic Band.
That's right. They are also releasing a limited release Magic Band of the Sanderson sisters, which...
Please don't tell Claire about this.
Why? Is she going to want one?
Oh, yeah. She loves Hocus Pocus.
Okay, but here's the thing. If you like Hocus Pocus, focus. If you like Hocus Pocus, I feel like they did a really good Magic Band for Hocus Pocus back in 2015. The magicbandcollectors.com article links to that. But I remember that Magic Band. And I thought, okay, well, that, Hocus Pocus, not really my thing, but it's a really well done Magic Band, right? Like the characters on it are very clearly depicted. They look a lot like the actresses.
Yeah.
While being a very graphic representation of them. I'm not an art person.
Bette especially looks really good.
Yeah, but even the other two, like I would be able to I feel like I could pick them out and go, yeah, that definitely looks like them. This new one, I don't know what that art style is, but you're the artsy person. What are we calling that?
I don't know. It's very sketchy, like
not your walking down a dark alley,
No.
the lights are, that last light just flickered off sketchy.
No. Like someone sketched these And I mean, they look real sinister. Like, it's not very hocus pocusy. The one from 2015 is very much the movie Hocus Pocus, which, yeah, the witches in Hocus Pocus are sinister, but they're funny. You know, it's a Disney movie, and they're funny, and they're over the top, and at the end of the day, you laugh a lot more. These ones on this year's Magic Band look
creepy.
Yeah, mean, and they don't. They haven't captured the kind of whimsicality of the movie the way that the one from 2015 does.
Yeah, well, I think 2015 also has it because they've got, you know, again with Bette Midler with that little like
gap.
Yes, that gap in their smile. Like you look at it, you're like, oh yeah. So yep. Anyway, but you know what? I'm sure Claire would still want one of these because she's a big enough Hocus Pocus fan. And I'm sure there are lots of other Hocus Pocus fans that will want these. So if you're looking for either of those Magic Bands, and you know, we're not going to report on every Magic Band that comes out. But yes, when we have Glows in the Dark and comes in a box that smells like chocolate, yeah. I feel like that's something we need to talk about.
If it's intentionally stinky, I feel like we should talk about it.
So that's what we're calling this now. Intentionally stinky.
Intentionally stinky Magic Band.
I don't know that...
Coming at you for Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. Intentionally smelly Magic Bands.
No, Magic Band boxes. Okay. Glow in the Dark Magic Band. Intentionally stinky Magic Band boxes. Get it right. Pay the price. Okay. And onto our last topic. Come on. We're rolling here. We're running out of time. I want to actually get these because there are so many other ones that we haven't covered in our show notes. But our last topic is that Hong Kong Disneyland is closing Astro Blasters, which is their Space Ranger spin, though I think they've got the good one, right? Where the gun
different.
Actually comes out of the deal and everything.
It's like the Disneyland. Yeah, it's the Disneyland one. It's Astro Blasters.
Yeah, so they are closing that down at the end of August. But to me, the interesting part of this article, and you will have to forgive me because clearly I have not kept up on what's going on over in Hong Kong Disneyland, was that they are closing it because they are retheming that attraction for Marvel.
Which they are allowed to do because they're not in America.
Is that just an America, or is it like, I thought it, for some reason I felt like that was like an Orlando specific thing.
No,
right?
But
we had the Tony Stark thing over at Tomorrowland and at Disneyland.
We need to find the legal document for that because it is the most insane set of rules imaginable. Disney is not allowed to use the word superhero when they're talking about Marvel superheroes. They can call them heroes, and they can call them other things. There is a clause in there that east of the Mississippi, Disney cannot use any characters that Universal is using. So that means that as long as the Hulk roller coaster is up, Disney World can never have the Hulk. And any character that's in a Universal park at all, so Captain America, Black Widow, all of those can't be used. Disneyland is a little bit more lax, but there are insane rules. And Cable Sasser on Twitter found the document. And it's, well, for one, the contract says that Universal has the rights to these characters indefinitely, forever. There is no date in the future where Disney regains control over their characters. Universal has the rights to use these in perpetuity. And the same with Spider-Man and X-Men with Fox and stuff. It's all in perpetuity. Yeah, there are insane rules. Like, we will never have, I think in Asia somewhere, they have the Iron Man experience, which is a simulator ride. Like,
so yeah, that's Hong Kong Disneyland. That is where Iron Man experience already exists. And this is actually just a... expansion upon that, where, you know, we already have the Iron Man experience and now we're going to add this in as well.
Right. But yeah, it's the, I can't remember the exact rules for Disneyland in California, but basically we will never have any of this stuff in America. Just because of these contractual things. Because back in the 90s, when Marvel was tanking, they were selling off, you know,
anything anybody IP. Would buy, huh?
Yeah, and Iron Man, before the movie, was like a C-level superhero.
Right.
The Marvel, the MCU, is what has made Iron Man this big character. But he was like nobody in the 90s. So it's just like, it's a bummer for American Disney parks. And again, I cannot imagine Disney execs going, man, I can't believe we're never going to get to use these characters.
At some point they're going to dig into the war chest.
Yeah.
And buy some of these back. I think when they feel like it is financially beneficial for them to do so,
right.
I think they will. But up until that point, yeah, I mean, I guess you just make do with what you've got. But yeah, we will keep Space Ranger Spin and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Hong Kong is getting this refurb that is going to be a Marvel-themed interactive shooting game where guests join Marvel superheroes to defeat invaders.
Well, there you go.
So apparently this was initially supposed to be an Ant-Man specific attraction, but now they're saying, you know, Marvel superheroes. So multiple superheroes.
And that'd be fun.
Yeah. Oh no, I think it would be really cool to see a retheme. Well, and I think that attraction could use a retheme simply because it's been broken, right? I mean,
yeah.
Well, okay, so it's been broken in multiple ways. It's broken in that there are a lot of things, and now I'm speaking Walt Disney World specific. There are parts of that attraction that don't seem to work right now, so it's in need of a refurb, period. But it's also been broken in that, you know, if you want to look online, you can find out exactly which targets to hit, and you're going to, you know, max out your score every time.
Right.
And
it never changes. It's not like Midway Mania. It never changes.
Right, and I don't know because I haven't researched Midway Mania enough to say for sure, but I feel like every time I've been on that attraction, I don't typically see, you know, the top score of the hour, top score of the day or whatever as some just ludicrously high, you know,
as being 999999999. Yeah.
yeah. So it might be, you know, people may have some tricks, but I don't think they've maxed it out like that. So
Right.
You know, I just feel like once people have, you know, I guess mastered the game, maybe it's time to get a new game. And yeah, a Marvel themed new game would be really nice. But I guess we'll get if we get anything, it would be the un-Marvel-fied version of this, and that won't happen because then there wouldn't be any IP behind it. So
right, yeah. So the next topic, I think we can just shove in real quick because there's not a whole lot to say about it. We talked at some time ago about news that the 3 o'clock parade would be moving to 2 o'clock. Apparently from August 20th to January 7th, the 3 o'clock Festival of Fantasy Parade will be moving to 2 p.m. So adjust your schedules if you're going to be at the parks for, you know, through the end of this year. But
so what time does the 3 o'clock parade start?
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. Yes, and apparently if you have made a parade dining package plan, and basically if your dining is suddenly going to overlap with the parade, Disney should be contacting you to adjust that dining time. That's what people are hearing. So hopefully that doesn't. But yeah, just be aware that the 3 o'clock parade is not at 3 o'clock. So if you show up at like, I don't know, you get into Magic Kingdom at 2:50 and you're like, dude, all the best places for the parade are just wide open. Nobody's waiting.
It's because it's over.
Don't sit down. Just keep on moving. the parade is over. I'm sorry.
I think that'll do it for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at MTM Podcast. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/MTM Podcast, or you can visit us on the web at missingthemouse.co. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. And until then, have a magical day.